Thank you ever so much, Andre. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the GNSA Review Working Party call on the 24th of July 2014. On the call today, we have Philip Shepherd, Jennifer Wolfe, Ron Andros, David Maher, Bert Fawcett, Michaela Nalon, Klaus Stoll, Wolf Ulrich Knobben, and Chuck Gomes. We have an apology from Stefan van Gelder. And from staff, we have Larissa Gernick, Marika Koenigs, Mata Stiani, Lars Hoffman, Glenn Sanziri, and myself, Natalie Peregrin. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Jen.
Thank you, and thanks, everybody, for taking time today for the call. Really appreciate a great turnout. Our agenda is pretty straightforward for today. I do appreciate everyone getting their feedback in by our last meeting on the 10th. And today, I think, Larissa, you're going to introduce the folks from Westlake to present an update on where we are. You may have seen an email come out yesterday with a link to test the survey. I think, Chuck and Ron, I've seen some comments from you. I haven't had a chance to go through that yet, and I'm sure everyone hasn't either. So I would certainly appreciate feedback from those who have gone through it, and then we can all take time between now and our next call to review it and complete our feedback. But, Larissa, I'll turn it over to you to provide an update from staff and from Westlake.
Thanks, Jim. This is Larissa Gernick. I am waiting for the folks from Westlake Governance to confirm that they've been able to dial in. It's they're calling in from New Zealand, so it's a bit of
Hello? Hello, Larissa. This is Richard Westlake speaking. Good morning. Well, hello.
Oh, great. Richard, thank you very much for dialing in. So let me just summarize a couple of points that I already included in the email yesterday for those that may not have had a chance to read through all the details. So we have the first version of the user acceptance testing, if you will, a UAT version of the 360 assessment that I had circulated yesterday. In the interest of time, I wanted to make sure that you had a little bit of a chance to interact with the survey before today's call, recognizing that a number of changes and edits had already been noted and provided to Westlake by staff even before we shared that version with you. So I wanted to assure you that additional changes are in the process of being made, as well as the feedback that Chuck, Philip, and others have already provided and will continue to provide at today's call. That will be considered and made within the next couple of days, and our goal is still to launch the survey around August 1st, and seeing that that is Friday, then we will discuss what the most opportune timing is to launch a survey like that, and really defer to the folks from Westlake to advise us whether we're best to launch on a Monday or Friday or such details. So at this point, I will introduce Richard Westlake from Westlake Governance. And I will ask Richard to provide kind of a brief overview of how the survey is structured and specifically explain a couple of areas that I know a number of you have articulated as questions. How does one respond to more than one survey? If someone wants to evaluate several GNSO groups, how does one do that? That's still an outstanding question. As well as we have some options for how to skip through questions and how to consider the fact that some people responding may not have an in-depth knowledge of the GNSO and may want to do a shorter version of the survey. So at this point, I will turn that over to Richard. And Richard, thank you so much for joining us at this time.
Well, thank you, Larissa, and hello, everybody. Thank you for the trouble everybody has taken to provide the feedback and to go through the testing on the first version and the second version that came out to you yesterday. Since then, we have carried on working with some of the edits that you have been asking for. We've had a look at them. We went back yesterday again with a reasonably full set of responses to Larissa. I was away yesterday and we haven't had a chance to work through all the changes in the last 24 hours, but I have just in the last few minutes sent through to Larissa one further set of updates which allows a logic to allow you to complete the survey on behalf of two groups or constituencies for the GNSO in the survey, and the logic will not force you to work your way through if you only want to go to do one of them, but will allow you to skip the second one, of course, if you only wish to comment in relation to one, just as it will allow you to skip over the detailed comments in the original logic, which is if you only have a shallow knowledge or you don't wish to comment in any depth on any particular constituency or group within the GNSO. So what we've tried to do is to gather some initial information, which is essentially demographic information, to get a sense of how valid or how informed the responses are going to be. That's those first five or six questions. Then we move into a set of questions, and we try to make it as voluntary as possible in terms of what questions you have to complete. But we do think it is quite important, at least, that people try to address a number of them, such as those, for example, the questions set out or the statements set out in the bylaw. There should be a body policy known as the GNSO, which should be responsible for developing and recommending substantive policies and so on. One of the questions that is asked in the terms of reference, has it been effective in achieving its purpose as defined in the article? We think it's important that people actually look at it, even if they then wish to click the I have no opinion box. So once we've got past that first set of questions, then we have gone as far as possible, into putting in voluntary questions that people don't have to complete. But again, there are some where at least there is the requirement to fill in a quantitative assessment, even if that assessment turns out to be, I have no opinion on one or more of those. So I think so far I'm hoping that people have followed what I'm saying. As I say, the addition that I have just sent through a minute or two ago to Larissa is the one that allows responses in relation to two groups, and we're just working through the logic of whether to include more than two or whether to include a note and then allow people to come round and do the survey again rather than making this of an inordinate length. Thank you, Larissa.
Thank you, Richard. I know that Richard is not in the Adobe room, so Richard, you may not be able to see the fact that we're displaying the latest version, the PDF of the latest version that you sent to me in the room. So I don't know if it would be helpful for us to scroll to certain sections to illustrate the items that you're referring, or if at this point we just want to continue to take comments from people that would like an opportunity to make a comment, even if it's on an older version of the survey. And, of course, after the changes have been incorporated, we'll circulate an updated version for everybody to see.
This is Jen. I was just noticing that Chuck has a question and a comment in the chat, and I understand Richard can't see that, so I'll just read it out, and then perhaps he can respond to that, and then we'll take further comments and questions. Chuck was asking in the chat, will there be a limit of only responding to two groups? So I guess I'll ask for a response on that question first.
Thank you, Jen. Richard Westlake here again. That's what we have built in just right now into the latest version of the survey, which you have there. But what we are proposing is to put in some text to the effect that if you wish to respond in relation to more, you can re-enter the survey or redo the survey, but we want to build some logic at the beginning of the survey if you do come in a second time so that you don't have to give us all the original information again, so you go straight to the group information. To be honest, Jen, we haven't yet had a chance to discuss the best way of doing that. This is obviously moving fairly rapidly. and we're meeting again this morning, New Zealand time, which is Friday morning, New Zealand time. We're meeting again to talk through exactly the best way of doing this, but we do accept that some people will want to comment or may want to comment on more than one or more than two groups. Do we find a neat, tidy way of building the logic into a single survey, or do we allow people to come back in again to come back and do yet another one?
Chuck, does that answer your question? I just want to give you an opportunity to jump in.
Yes, Jen, I think it does. What I was thinking, and this won't apply to a lot of people, but certainly in my case, I was thinking I certainly would be appropriate to respond with regard to the registry stakeholder group, probably the GNSO council, but also if working groups are an option, that would be another perspective. So that's why I asked the question. But the workaround they're considering probably would be okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Chuck. And I know we just received this yesterday, and now an update is coming out. For those of you who have had a chance to review, do you have other questions or comments for Westlake? Philip.
Yeah, thanks. I think I've just been looking at the latest version. I think I made a comment in my email. I'm not sure Westlake will have a chance to see that. It was only a little while ago. But I'm saying, to my mind, there still seems a bit of a confusion between the various hierarchies in council that we're trying to get responses about. And I think question 8 is quite a good example of that. Question 8 is asking about how certain communities are represented and involved. And there we see the list of the stakeholder groups, and at the bottom 2 are constituencies and houses. And it just seems a bit strange in terms of representation for houses, and houses was a construct for a voting convenience, essentially, and the constituencies are, for the most part, parts of the stakeholder groups. So it's a bit of a strange question to be asking, and that sort of flows through some of the other points, and I hear the responses from Westlake in terms of how that might be addressed, and I think I support those. But just wanted to highlight 8 as being an example of the issue I had raised.
Thank you, Philip. Larissa, your hand is up. Did you want to respond to that point?
Yes, thanks, Jan. This is Larissa. I typed it into the chat as well. Question 8 has already been flagged and sent to Westlake for correction to make sure that all the stakeholder groups are appropriately represented. So we'll definitely get that one fixed. And Philip, I've certainly noted all your comments. And for everybody and for Philip, Westlake is getting these comments in real time, so you can be assured that we're capturing all the feedback and considering the best way to integrate it. Thank you.
Thanks,
Larissa. Thanks, Philip. Chuck.
Thanks again, Jen and Larissa, as well as the Westlake team. One of the things I found when I went through the survey yesterday is that in quite a few cases, the best option I could pick was no opinion, except that really wasn't the case. It wasn't that I didn't have an opinion. It was that it was not applicable or something like that. So that then forced me to put in a comment to explain my response, which obviously takes more time and so forth. So as I said in the chat, a no opinion choice is very different than something like a not applicable response. It gives us very different information. So that's more of a comment than it is a question.
Okay, thanks. That seems very reasonable to look at adding a no opinion and perhaps a non-applicable. Any comment from Westlake or Larissa from staff on that point?
Yes, it's Richard here. If I could, perhaps. We had received that comment yesterday, thank you. We just haven't had time to incorporate it yet. Perhaps I could say we put that, if you like, as a sort of shorthand catch-all, but look, I do understand the sense that the message you're sending by having no opinion is a different message from saying it is not applicable. So we will incorporate that.
Great. Thank you. Ron.
Thanks, Jen, and thanks, everyone, for the great work that's been done on this survey. I've just, as we are now, I heard earlier that we're dealing with Richard in New Zealand and us here, and now we've got one version that we're supposed to test, but yet there's a lot of iterations going on. So I just wanted to get some clarification. Does it make sense for us right now to go in and start for the rest of us in the committee who have not yet gone through and reviewed the survey, should we review the one that was sent around yesterday, or do we want to hold off on that? Because it sounded to me like Richard's making quite a few modifications. So I just want some clarification on that. Thank you.
Richard, can you respond to that question?
Yes, thank you, Jen. My sense would be that we have now had some quite significant amount of feedback to the first version. We have had some feedback to the second version, and we're still in the process, if you like, of building the next version. I would say it is probably of limited benefit, so may I suggest that people hold off. We will aim to have the latest test version, which I hope will be a very late draft, if not the final, to launch by the end of your weekend. Would that fit the timing, Larissa? As far as I can see, that should be reasonably acceptable.
This is Larissa. Thank you, Richard. Yes, I think that would be ideal as to not to confuse people. And I did want to clarify that as Richard is referencing two versions, it's the second version that has been circulated to the GNSO review working party. The first version went to staff, and we had immediately provided much of the same comments and several others that you've already articulated. So to Richard's point, we have a call with the Westlake team in several hours to discuss all the feedback received. And I feel very confident that by end of the weekend, we will be able to produce virtually the latest version and hopefully near final version for people to interact with. So unless people that have already had a chance to look at the survey have other structural or large type feedback that would be useful to discuss right now, I feel very confident that the next version will address all the comments that we've received so far. Thank you.
Larissa, may I add one comment?
Sure, please.
Thank you, Jen. I'm sorry for interrupting, but may I just say that, yes, we will be addressing all the comments. There are one or two where, in fact, we have, in our response to Larissa yesterday, we have made a case why we've done what we've done, regardless of somebody saying either they don't like it or they've asked for a change. But I think those are all the points that we can address during the call later on today, Larissa.
Very good. And once again, Richard is referencing some observations and comments that were raised by staff. And that just to highlight the process on our end, every comment is cataloged, if you will. And as we go through this process of the nitty-gritty changes that the Westlake team is proposing, we're noting how each comment will be addressed, so it'll either be noted and done, or if it's not feasible, or if Westlake has a different point of view, that will also be captured, and I will be happy to provide that inventory, if you will, back to this team along with the next version so that everybody can see how the comments were considered and the rationale where we weren't able to incorporate the comment fully. Would that be acceptable?
Larissa, I think that was an. I see, Ron, your hand has been up. Do you want to address that issue, or is this a new issue that you wanted to address?
No, I wanted to follow on some of the comments that Larissa has made and also Richard, but whenever you're ready, Jen.
Okay. Anyone have a specific response to Larissa? I know we need to talk about the time frame to be able to review the survey and provide our feedback, so maybe we can hold that and let me let you jump in, Ron, or does anyone else have a specific response to Larissa first? Okay, seeing none, Ron, why don't you go ahead and then we can jump into the time frame.
Thanks, Jen. Two points that came to my mind as I've just been scrolling through this, Richard. One is, and they actually are kind of tied together, number three asks how many ICANN meetings you've attended, and it finishes at 10-plus. There's a big difference between someone who's gone to 10 meetings, which effectively would have meant for 3 years or so they've been active, and someone who's gone to 20 or 30 meetings. So if you look to question number 22, for example, and the question says, GNSO Council communicates in plain language. Well, my response would be, having gone to 40-plus meetings, yeah, I understand everything they're saying. But someone who's been to 10 meetings may or may not understand them at all. So I'm wondering about maybe we should be adding to the number three, maybe 10 to 20 meetings and then 20-plus meetings. If someone's gone to 20-plus meetings, that means they've been around for a good 5 or 6 years, maybe 7 years, and that's a big difference. And I think the kind of responses we get will be gauged based on that number of meetings someone's attended, because they'll be more aware of the ICANN processes, language, and so forth. So that was one point I wanted just to bring out and hope you might consider. The second one has to do with these boxes where we say, please expand if you wish. And I wondered if Westlake has considered limiting the amount of characters that one can write in that box. And the reason I'm suggesting that is because if I'm forced to put something in 500 characters or less, I know I have to make that a very concise statement, as opposed to rambling on and on about how I feel about this particular element or that particular element. And I believe, like Chuck, that as the more of these free text boxes we have, the less responses we'll get, only because people are, in general, kind of lazy to these kinds of activities. But I'm wondering if we were to limit the number of characters, would we get more concise answers? And I'm wondering that I'm actually asking you that as a professional. Thank you.
Thank you. Shall I respond to both of those?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Thank you. On question three, yes, we're certainly happy to put in a number of categories, and I do take the point about somebody who's been to 25 ICANN meetings. It is significantly more than 10. I think what we might do is compress the groupings, collapse the groupings so that we would have 2 to 10, 11 to 20, and then 20-plus, just so that we don't have we don't want to have an unreasonable number where somebody can't remember did they go to sort of 5 or 7 or whatever it was. So we will collapse a bit, but certainly we will allow for people to demonstrate significantly greater ICANN experience. On the text boxes, I think that's a very good point that people understand they do have to be compressed. In fact, most of the ones we have are limited to 800 characters, which is quite a short comment. I think I take your point completely. We will be specific and let people know that they are limited, which will force those succinct comments. Thank you for that one. I think that's really a valuable addition there. Thank you.
Thank you. Chuck, your hand is up, please. Chuck, did you have another point or question?
Sorry, I was on mute and talking to myself. I want to respond to Ron's comment, and let me say, first of all, that I generally support it, but I also found in the survey that there were some questions where there were 5, 6, 7 parts and only one text box. So if you limit it too much and you need a comment on several of those, that could be a problem. I know in one case, because of that, I entered several different statements that related to different subparts of the question. So we just need to keep that in mind. Again, I'm not encouraging a lot more free text boxes, but at the same time, when we're putting a limit, we need to keep that in mind for text boxes that have that relate to a group of sub-items and only one text box.
Thanks, Chuck. Richard, did you want to respond to that at all, or are we...
No, I think that makes very good sense, and we will certainly go back through and check that we're not asking people to be too compressed, because while I think you said earlier, Chuck, this won't apply to many people, there will be a number of people who have very valuable comments to add, and we don't want to constrain it unnecessarily, but we need to get a balance between keeping people succinct and forcing them to be, or not allowing them to say what they need to say. So we'll go back and check that, because there are one or two I'm aware where we've got six or seven, and I think question statement 13 is a classic one. If you do have comments which might be different between several of the bullet point responses, we want to allow people to respond adequately. So thank you for that one, Chuck.
Thank you, and I'll just have one last call if there are any comments for those of you who have reviewed the survey. Any other comments to provide at this time? Okay, seeing none, I'd like to move on and discuss the time frame. It sounds like essentially by Monday of our next work week, we should have a revised survey that we can review and provide comments on. What is the opinion of the group in terms of a reasonable time frame to review that and provide final feedback to Westlake before it is launched to the public? Any comments from the group? 7 days, Ron says in the chat. So a full week so that everyone has the opportunity to review and respond. Chuck agrees. Any other comments or suggestions? To Richard and Larissa, is that reasonable if we give everyone a full 7 days from the time it's re-released? So that would mean we would push back the public launch date by just a few days?
Jen, could I perhaps come back with without sort of having discussed it with Larissa, but we can do later today, is to ask if people would be willing to complete it by the end of that working week, in other words, by the end of Friday the 1st. That would mean if there were any final edits, we would have the weekend to do it, and it could be launched at the beginning of the week, beginning Monday the 4th, if that's going to be acceptable to Larissa and you, Jen.
I see Ron's hand is up, and Chuck has a check mark. Can I ask Ron for your comments?
Thanks very much, Jen. No, Richard, I think that's reasonable. The five-day work week makes a lot of sense to me, and that's really what I was kind of referring to when I suggested 7 days. I also wanted to ask the question of the chair and the group. Do we see this as something just we are going to go through and test, or are we considering reaching out to, let's say, three or four or five members of our constituencies to come in and test and get their feedback as well? Because fresh eyes always catch the little itchy things that we don't see because we've been looking at it for so long. So it's really a question to the group, and I wondered how the rest of the work party members feel about that. Thank you.
So Ron, I'll provide my comments. Obviously, and we just had our council meeting this morning, and I let the council know that we would be circulating the survey, and certainly the more feedback we get, the better. So I certainly think that if you can send it out to some members of your stakeholder groups and get feedback, that would be most welcome. But any other comments or suggestions on that point?
Thanks, Jen. I think that's a good lead. Okay. Appreciate it. This is Ron. Thank you.
Thank you. And just confirming, is everyone comfortable that if essentially by Monday business we receive the updated survey, by the end of the day on Friday we can provide our feedback? Is that reasonable to everyone, including, as we just discussed, reaching out to others in your stakeholder groups and constituencies for feedback? Okay, seeing no comments, I think that's how we should proceed. So Richard and Larissa, anything else you want to comment on? It sounds like that's our plan of action to move forward.
Hi, Jen, this is Larissa. Apologies. I've been kicked out of the Adobe room, so I can't raise my hand.
Oh, okay.
And I don't see the queue, so my apologies for that. But I also wanted to that timeline works fine. Obviously, we are we want to make sure that the survey is the best that it can possibly be and as clear as possible. And I think the extra time is well worth it to make sure that the responses are really solid and what we want them to be. At the same time, we're also managing the translation component of this. So we will most likely move forward with an earlier version, at least just to get it into translations. And our plan is to take the questions, essentially to take the PDF of the survey and have that translated so that people that would like to see the questions and the answer options in their various languages will have the option to do that. Then for those that will want to respond in their native languages, that will have to be done outside of the interactive format through some sort of a Word document mechanism, and then those responses will have to be translated. So I just wanted to flag for the group that we are managing through that to make sure that people have options to respond truly in whatever way is most suitable to them.
Thank you, Larissa. Richard, did you have another comment as well?
Thank you, Jen. Yes, if I could, just 2 points in relation to the test survey and when people are testing it. Please remember that this is a test version. We are not collating the substantive comments. Obviously, when we read through some of them, it's giving us some sense, but what we're trying to do is we are simply testing the logic and the appropriateness of the survey. So this is a set of building blocks rather than please don't spend too much time putting your comments into this version and select properly launched. And secondly, I recognize that the community we're talking to in this call will tend to be people who will do the full version of the survey. Could I ask that a few of you please take the time to try the skip logic for those who don't know the GNSO very well and may well wish to answer a minimum number of questions, and give me feedback on that as well, please.
Thank you for that clarification. That is a great point, as I'm sure it would be easy for any one of us to go off completing the survey as though it was the full survey, so that's a great point. And then also, we will certainly review the shorter version and provide feedback on that as well. So thank you for raising those two clarification points.
Thank you.
Michele, I see you have a couple comments. Did you want to add anything from the chat?
Thanks, Michele. Just very briefly. No, I mean, just I think there's a dangerous assumption to assume that just because people like me might engage in one of these working groups that I'm actually going to fill out a long survey. I get sent surveys all the time. I don't complete all of them. If there's a short survey version that I can do, I'll usually opt for that one.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you for the comments. And so certainly your feedback on the short version would be most helpful if that's the one you might be more inclined to complete. So, and hopefully we're providing something for everyone, because I know we've had different comments on this point, that some want a shorter, some want a longer. So hopefully we're finding some middle ground to meet everybody's needs. Okay, if there are no other comments at this point, I think we have our time frame that we should be receiving over the weekend, or certainly by Monday, an updated survey. We will forward that out to our groups and provide feedback on the list so that that can be incorporated, and then be looking at staff and Westlake launching this publicly by a week from Monday. Our next meeting is 2 weeks from today, which is August 7th. So hopefully by then we will have some sort of an update as to how many surveys have been completed, how it's going, and we can then follow up on what we need to do to boost any implementation in terms of getting the survey out there. Larissa, anything else from staff that you see on our agenda?
Not at the moment, Jen.
Okay, thanks, Larissa. Chuck, did you have another comment?
Yeah, one of the concerns I had is that the primary response period was August. August is probably the least active month in our community of any month of the year. And if the primary response period is August, I think we're going to essentially limit a lot of responses, and probably especially for those who are less active in the community, and we want their feedback. So if the primary period is August, I definitely think we're going to need to extend it well into September if we want regional responses. At the same time, I don't think it's wise to have too long a response period because people just put it off and then maybe never do it. So I think we need to keep that in mind. Historically, August is always a slow month for the ICANN community.
Thank you, Chuck. That's a great point, and I know we had talked about that in one of our other meetings. Larissa, I think that the time period was extended through September, was it not, or could you provide an update? And then I see Michaela has his hand up as well.
Jen, this is Larissa. Yes, I just typed into the chat. While we want to get as many responses as quickly as possible for obvious reasons, we've already considered the fact that the survey would need to stay open through September, and of course we'll continue to monitor the status of responses and bring those updates to this group for a couple of reasons. One is to continue the outreach effort and encourage communities to respond, and staff obviously will continue to do that too. But the other reason too is if we see any kind of concerns or unexpected outcomes, of either responses or non-responses, then we would certainly want to consider what impact that's having and come up with another game plan. So we will continue to monitor that very closely.
Thanks, Larissa. Michaela.
Thanks.
Michaela speaking. Just following on from what Chuck was saying, July and August are traditionally times of the year when a lot of people take holidays, or even if they're not on holiday, they're in a kind of different working mode, as it were. I think it's very dangerous to open up any survey that anybody wants to have taken seriously during July or August, and I would be much happier if this was put off until the first week of September. The rationale behind that being that a lot of notifications about things happening during the months of July and August will just get lost. People won't see them. If some people I know, when they'll just delete all email over a certain period of time. I mean, if I was away for 2 or 3 weeks, I'd probably dump a lot of the email that I get from certain groups because it'll be irrelevant by the time I actually get around to looking at it. So I'd be very, very wary of opening this up. And it's a question of either doing something properly or doing something quickly. And I personally prefer doing things properly. Thanks.
Larissa or Richard, did you want to respond to that point?
Jen, this is Larissa. Yes, I certainly appreciate Michaela's point, and we identified this as a timing consideration from the beginning when the GNSO review process was launched. At the same time, I would not recommend delaying for the full month because I think that we have good plans in place to ensure that if some people do in fact delete their emails, we will be sending reminders. We will be using multiple means and multiple channels to reach out to people to let them know that this is happening. And most importantly, we will continue to monitor the responses to see what kind of coverage we're getting so that we can still continue to reinforce the importance of responding to the survey in early September, but at least this way we'll start the process of collecting feedback in August. Thank you.
Thank you, Larissa, and it does sound like we'll have the opportunity to continue it well into September. So I guess we'll see where we are in a couple of weeks and just continue to provide feedback. Any other final questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, I thank everyone again for your time, for all of your feedback. I think we've made tremendous progress, again, in adding to this the survey, expanding the scope of it, including all of the comments and the feedback. We really appreciate everything, Larissa, that you're doing and Westlake that you're doing. and we'll look forward to talking again in 2 weeks and to activity on list to respond to the survey next week. So thank you again to everyone. That brings our meeting to a close.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
And I'll talk to you.